Cypress Hill with John Charles McLaughlin. I guess I should get a couple of pieces with him too fast. I guess you're coming to age, John. You understand Gaelic, but you're not
confident in talking it.
No.
Yeah.
So would you tell me a bit of your history, John, here?
Well, I was born in Stramore, Glendon. I was born in the old house, which was built in the mid-1800s by my great-grandfather. And the post office was in that house for 50 years, longer than anywhere else in Glendon. And I'm not sure the year at the post office was ceased to be in that house, you know. But my mother always talked about the post office being there, you know. And she always talked about my grandmother having very good Gaelic. But my grandfather didn't speak the Gaelic. She had a fair knowledge of Gaelic, but she didn't speak it either. So my grandfather was born in 1861, the year of the evictions in Nervé, and he died in 1847. So
we have told you bits and pieces about the evictions.
I've heard from my uncle about the evictions, and about my mother would tell me about the evictions as well, and about the times that were at that time, and about the landlords and what they did and all that. And we weren't in that area. Colonel Humphrey was the landlord with us around here. That's why we weren't evicted. Probably if we had been Derivé, we would have been gone as well, you know. But that's the difference. There are two different estates. The Derivé estate and this estate here was two different landlords owned them, you know.
And John George O'Dear was the one.
He was the one that owned the Derivé estate right up almost into Loughborough, yeah. Up onto Duhery. From Garton, around by the Garton Lake, around there.
And how many families in all did he evict?
46 families. Probably average of 10 people per family, you know. Yeah. And the funny part about it, nobody ever came back to live there again. That from 1861, it remained unoccupied since, you know, even to this present day, there's nobody ever lived there, apart from people owning the land. And the Land Commission, probably way back in the 1920s, they divided the land, and people that had relatives evicted got land in Derivé, and they would still own that land there yet, you know. But mostly the Swinney people were evicted in different names, you know. It's amazing how many different names were there at that time.
O'Doherty's
were there as well, probably. And Wards, there was Wards, you know.
Yeah.
But them names all died out, then with the people going and all that. But there's some Swinneys even in Glendon yet, you know. There's a few Swinneys, but they would be descendants of the ones that would be evicted, you know.
Yeah. And did they then go out to Australia, John?
Well, the older ones went into the workhouse, the people that couldn't work or travel. The younger ones all went to Australia. They got assisted passage or something like that. I think it's a £5 note, you could go to Australia then, you know.
Yeah, so their descendants come back still.
They come back still inquiring about their ancestors and about all that, you know, yeah. So that was the story of Derry Bay.
But the main reason would have been, like, he took a bailiff then from Scotland,
yeah.
Murray,
yeah, he was a sheepman, you know. He was Murray from Scotland, yeah. And he never got on with the tenants. He blamed them for stealing sheep, and sheep went missing, and sometimes sheep died, but then the tenants were blamed for the sheep. They were accused of stealing the sheep, and it turned out that the sheep died. They didn't steal any sheep at all.
So he took a different breed of sheep from Scotland, didn't he?
I took the blackface sheep, yeah.
Yeah.
They're still there, yep, there's some of the blackface sheep, some of them. They seem to do well because the terrain in the Highlands of Scotland and the terrain of land is much the same around here, you know, as the Highlands of Scotland. Cattle and sheep, the same type of cattle would survive it as well. Red deer even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the tenants, they certainly killed the bailiff Murray, didn't they?
Yeah, well, somebody murdered the bailiff, yeah. There was a land agent called Grayson as well. He had a land agent one of that team, and somebody shot him called Bradley. There was a big trial in the courthouse in Churchill that went on up to the High Court in Dublin then. But they never could find him guilty of shooting. This Grayson was his name, you know. He was Scottish as well. So the case never went any further, you know. But they never found who killed Murray. It never was found out.
No. nobody was charged.
Nobody was ever charged for it.
Yeah, but they were punished for it the whole.
Well, at the end of the day, the tenants were punished when they were evicted of their houses.
Yeah.
And had repercussions, you know.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And what about that then, at the aftermath of all this? Like, the people didn't, then different people came into
settling,
and
no, that's the thing about it. Nobody ever came into settling.
No.
No, even yet, there's nobody there. There's an old building, you can see it over across the. Just across the valley there, it used to be a barrack. Meaning there's nobody living in that either. It belongs to the Glenvay Estate. Inside the fence, you know, anything inside the fence then was the Glenvay Estate then for the deer and all that, you know. They that's fenced them all in, you know. That fence goes right to around Bidun Louis, Poison Glen, right around there. Yeah. A couple of thousand acres, you know. Yeah.
Then after John George and Deer, another landlord took over, like, and wasn't he a bit better, and wasn't as harsh as...
No, I think he was a bit better than John George, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure his name now. I mean, there are no records of who he was, or what he was like, or...
Yeah.
Then the, both the whole Land Act changed then, the Landlord-Tenant Act changed then, and the tenants had more rights then. See, at the time they were evicted, the tenant didn't have any rights, he could put them out. They didn't really own the land they were on, you know, they only paid rent, and you know.
Paying rent,
yeah. Yeah. So they could be evicted to will, you know.
Yeah. But is it not said that the barracks of the log cabins or the sod cabins east of them are still to be seen?
Oh, yeah, they're still to be seen there. If you look for them, you'll find them.
Yeah.
There's still evidence of people living there, still there. And even the stone walls where they keep in there, where they found the sheep, when he found the sheep and all.
Yeah.
And the stone ditches, they didn't have any fences. They just build stone ditches to keep the farm, divide the different farms, you know.
Yeah.
So they're still there to be seen, yeah. Maybe evidence of crops as well, you know, ridges of spuds, and it's amazing, you know.
Sure is. John, you later went on to, you said, we were talking to you when I was coming in, you went on to run a fast as a youngster, did you not?
I used to play at Kayleigh's down in Gortahork Hall, when I used to have a wee band at school. And I still do a lot of playing there yet, in Derrybeg, and even in older days, or younger days, I used to play in the Foreland Heights and Glasha and all over Gadoor, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we know the area pretty well.
Definitely do.
Yeah.
John, you're going to sing one or two Gaelic songs for me first of all, very young.
Yeah, I'm going to sing one song that I learned as a face. At a face when I was a wee boy called Caslan Dumanor. I mean, that's the only Gaelic song I'm pretty confident at, you know.
Right.
Well,
right, John.
Tagian ye, Riscal's the poor, Archim Pialandram war, Ains and Ha. Asihan Afas Chebeger Store Tagashan Jailer Dollar Cream Asaw and Vianlandu Sheremis Law Elan is Lu Lolan. Law he is Lulalu. Na Hagin's raw, rodeder me, is nanin and from. Na Hagin tash, oh now and warm, na ban. She clean ye on Tamura war O sirkin Egi regrasta gun Chere means law in land Is lulo land Law in is lulalu Shere mis lo hin lan e
is Lulolan, Lohin is Lulalu.
What do you say, John? Thank you. Mr. John, tell me about the first woman evicted and the Derry B evictions that John George and Deer evicted.
Well, I often heard the shows of a woman called McAward, and she must have been an elderly lady, but the shock of the evictions and the hassle she got, I think she died later on that day, I think it was, you know, after the evictions. She would have been the very first, yeah.
And there was a man, you said, a bailiff called Stewart. Tell me about him.
Well, he owned the land across the lake from Adair, you know. He owned the Belvin estate. And my uncle always told me that the two men, they had a wager, they bet a wager of a fiver at the bench in Churchill. There used to be a courthouse on Churchill that time. And Adair said to Stuart, you're a worse man than me. I'm supposed to be very bad, put out 46 families, but you put out more people on average than I would have put out over a longer period of time. And they counted up all they put out all right, and it turned out that a Stuart was a worse man than Adair. He had out more people, but he didn't put them out all in the one day or a couple of days. He put them out over a period of years, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I often heard from my uncle, you know.
Much the same in Scotland, you were saying.
Well, the Highlands of Scotland, the Highland, I was just looking at a programme on television and on the British Isles, on about the history of the British Isles, and it turned out that the Highlands of Scotland, there was a vast area of people put out there as well, and the landlord put them out to put in black sheep, or black-faced sheep, I should say, that they would have paid better than the tenants. And they put them along the seashore, and they found it very hard to make a living along the sea because they weren't used to, they weren't seafaring people for a start, which is very awkward for them as well. But I don't know how they survived, you know. But they reckon they still commemorate that the time they were put out. Yet the people do come back to the area where they were evicted. They come to the area where they were sheltered to the seashore. Just watching the programme last night about just the very same. On the very same subject, you know.
Yeah, just the same as the Derry B.
Oh, much the same, probably the same time as well,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
But there was no land, there were no tenant landlord act, no one to protect the tenants, you know.
Nothing at all.
No.
Now, John, you're going to sing a few more ballads for me, are you?
Ah, yeah.
And which ones are you going to sing?
I'd like to sing a song which I wrote about Landon, called The Cottage on Landon. Fourteen miles from the town of Letterkenny, there's a place I love and always call my home. It's nestled in the hills of old Shirconnell. It's my little Irish cottage in Lendon. All around that little house, the flowers are blooming, and the evergreens sway gently in the breeze. In the summertime, the fish swim in the river that flows along the meadows and the trees. 'Twas there that I was born one sunny morning. My life began with those rolling hills so fine. The place looks much the same as in the old days, touched lightly by the gentle hands of time. Now the hills of Derry Bay lie close beside me, and Gartan Lakes lie plainly in my view. Sure, Gartan is the home of sin Columbus,
and many other Irish poets too. While fate take me to far and distant country, there never was a place I'd call my home. There was a yearning deep inside for dear old Ireland, and my little Irish cottage in Lindone. And now I'm back at home among my own folk. I feel contented, never more to roam. I'll settle down and live in old Shirconnell, in my little Irish cottage in Lindone.
I wrote the words and the music. Well, I didn't write the music, it's in music, it was in my head, you know.
Yeah, fair. Good man. John, you mentioned Colum Kenny there in your song, and would you have a bit of personal knowledge of his prophecies and all that, John?
Well, there's old sayings that Colum kills curse, you know, the world, so certain things you weren't supposed to do. That if you're cutting turf there, a bank of turf there with a spade, that time everybody cut with spades, and you're supposed to leave one step so Colum Kill could get out of the bog, you know.
At the end of the bank.
At the end of the bank, yeah. And if you're putting on your shoes, you're supposed to put on the two socks, two shoes. Not put on one shoe and one sock, and then another shoe and another sock. You're supposed to put on the two socks first, and then the two shoes.
Yeah.
It's just some old legends that he had, you know, whatever happened to him at the time, you know. That he put a curse on anybody that wouldn't do it different normal, you know.
His way, yeah.
Yeah. But I prophesied a lot of things. He prophesied that there'd be people coming back to Ireland, if there were road coming back to Ireland, I reckon there'd be was black with people coming back again, you know. So the people are coming back again now, right now.
Yeah.
Some of them coming through, you know. And I reckon there'd be no difference in the winter and summer seasons, but only the trees, the only difference you would see. It's just getting very close to it now. We get bad days in the middle of summer.
And it's quite
hot days in the middle of winter. I mean, in my time, the seasons have all changed, definitely. Summers are, they're even hotter now, you know, but I remember terrible bad years way back in the 70s, you know. And the winters are much harder as well.
So those prophecies are coming
through. They are coming through to a certain degree, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John, you're going to sing another one or two ballads for me, are you?
Yeah, I'll sing a song about hills around Lindone. A song that I composed, you know. Early in the morning, I hear the cuckoo call. It brings me back to childhood day in dear old Donegal. I still recall the old folk who have passed along the way. All have gone to their reward in a better land to stay. I can clearly hear the sparrows chirp and the blackbird sing his song. I think how quickly time does fly, how it surely moves along. I feel the warm sun on my face as I walk outside my door. I feel happy and contented in my dear old home once more. I've been to many places and so many sights I've seen, but there is none that can compare with my little Isle of Green. I've been to New York City Grand, Niagara's waterfall, but my heart was back in Ireland, in the county Donegal. Oh, far off
plans were lovely, and the people, they were grand. But there was a yearning deep inside for dear old Ireland. I miss the country dances and the fiddlers as they play. I miss the Irish way of life while in America. While sitting on that big jet plane, I was heading all that lands, and all the sights and scenery could not erase my past. I missed the friendly faces in that land I called my own. I missed those happy days I spent in the hills around Glendone. I missed the friendly faces in that land I call my own. I miss those happy days I spend in the hills around Glendone. Attention pay, my countrymen, and hear my latest news. Although my song is sorrowful, I hope you'll be excused. I left my peaceful residence a foreign land to see. I bade farewell to Donegal, likewise to Glenswillie. It was on a summer's morning at the dawning of the day, when I left my peaceful, happy home to wander far away. And as I viewed that grand old glen, perhaps no more to see, I thought my heart would surely break by leaving Glenswillie. Brave stalwart men around me stood, each comrade's kind and true. And as I clasped each well-known hand to bid my last adieu, says I, my fellow countrymen, I hope you'll soon be free. For to see the sun burst proudly over the hills of Glenswillie. No more among the sycamore I'll hear the blackbird sing. No more to me the blithe cuckoo will welcome back the spring. No more I'll plow your belt-trail fields, a cushland, Yalmaree. On a foreign soil, I'm doomed to toil, far, far from Glenswillie. God bless you, dear old Donegal, my own dear native land. In dreams I'll oftentimes see your glens and lovely mountains grand. But alas, 3,000 miles do lie between your hills and me. I'm a poor forlorn exile cast far away from Glenswillie. May peace and plenty reign supreme around Oswallie's soul. May discord never enter our happy homes no more. And may the time soon come around when I'll return to thee. to live as my forefathers lived and died in Lensvillene. Oh, I wish I was back in old Ireland. 'Tis a land that I love and adore. To see once again her valleys and glens and her green fields of beauty once more. To watch the sun rise in the morning o'er her lakes and her rivers so free. To hear the birds sing in an evening in spring, such joy and such grandeur to see. But I'm living in this lonely city, with no friends nor companions at all. Oh, I wish I was back in the tumble-down shack, in the mountains of old Donegal. To see the folks work in the meadow, making hay on a bright summer day, to stroll through the glade with the pretty fair maid, all my troubles will soon fade away. And when the dark winter shades gather, and cold winds from the north brings the snow, we'd sit round a blazing turf fire and tell stories of long, long ago. But I'm living in this lonely city, with no friends nor companions at all. Oh, I wish I was back in the tumble-down shack in the mountains of old Donegal. Oh, I wish I was back in that tumble-down shack in the mountains of old Donegal.
I hear John. You composed that last
I composed
one.
That one, yeah.
The mountains of old Donegal.
A good few years ago now, I can't remember how long it was ago, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been around long, so we're going to be while now.
And Mickey McGinley composed the Hills of Lensvillene.
Well, no, Mick McGinley, a fellow called Mick McGinley.
Yeah.
He lived across, Glenswillie, just across the hills there. Now, you could even walk, they used to walk across in the old days, you know. The roads weren't that good, so they just took the hills for it.
Yeah, he wrote a lovely song, though.
That's a brilliant song, you know. It's been living for years now, and many people seem to like it, you know.
Yeah.
It'll never die, you know, it'll still keep on going.
Do you know a bit of Mickey's history?
Well, He must have done a lot of travelling. He must have went to America probably, and he wrote going to America. He went to New Zealand as well.
Yeah.
And he wrote different songs going on the ship to New Zealand, you know. And he would have done a lot of that kind of. He used to come to Dandone on a Sunday afternoon to visit friends of his, you know. There's another man called James Van McLaughlin. The two men must have known each other pretty well. He lived in Dandone. He would have wrote lovely in Old Fintown and Lovely Green. You wrote a song called Lovely Green Gidorium in the time of Father McFadden, the time of the land troubles. That time, you know, Father McFadden was arrested, you know.
So John Boyle McMenamin wrote that?
Lovely Green Gidorium?
Yeah. Is that what you said?
No, Sean Bon McLaughlin.
Sean Bon McLaughlin wrote that.
James Bon McLaughlin, to be exact, yeah.
Do you know the words of that song?
No, I wouldn't know it, but I would have it, have the words of it all right.
Yeah.
But I don't know what music would go to it, you know. But you see, he wasn't a musician, he was just a poet, you know.
Right.
See, he didn't write music, the problem would be now you would need to put music to all the stuff that he did write, you know.
Yeah.
But he wrote.
In the case of Mick McGinley's, he was one of the Fenians.
Oh, definitely, aye.
Yeah.
Very, very strong.
Yeah.
Fenian blood and Fenian.
Yeah. So he went on to America.
Aye. Up to America. Wrote the song when he was going away, you know. He might have wrote other songs which was lost, probably, you know.
Yeah. Well, he wrote Trombone Marches too.
Oh, I probably wrote that one as well, yeah.
Do you know that one?
No, but I don't know that, but I heard my mother telling about the Trombone Marches. About it's a hard time, the Civil War time in Ireland, you know.
Yeah.
Charlie Daly was a Cork man. I mean, I think he visited Dandone a few occasions, you know.
Oh, he would have.
The time they were on the run.
Yeah. He would have
Safe houses. Safe houses, DC, they could have went to, yeah. I want us to get hard times, but...
Oh, yeah. Do you want to sing one more, John, or... Hold on.
And called Your Phone's Lovely Glens.
I'm dreaming of old Ireland as the tears fall from my eyes. In the far and distant USA, far from home by many miles. I often dream of Mama, I can see her once again. Oh, I'm dreaming of old Ireland and Tyrconnell's lovely glens. Glendone the fame, Glencoe and Kill, Glenfin's a sight to see. Glen of Glen, Dee's own sweet home, and the song of glens will leave. See the red deer on the hillside as she passed through sweet Glenfin. See this beauty in old Ireland, I'm going back again someday. To be at home for Christmas, Mama's joy you'd want to see. As we gathered round the turf fire on a snowy Christmas Eve, there's tales to tell and songs to sing with the oil lamp on the wall. With the family all together, like in dear old Donegal. But here I am, so far away, where the lights shine bright at night. When you're lonesome, man, you're all alone, such a poem are very nice. As I sit and gaze across the waves, I smell the turf water once again. Oh, I'm dreaming of old Ireland and Tyrconnell's lovely glens. But now I'm going back again to the glens I love so well. I've been my way so many years, many stories I can tell. But now my days are over, soon I'll lay me down again. For the rest in peace in Ireland, in Tyrconnell's lovely glens. Oh, I'm dreaming of old Ireland and Tyrconnell's lovely glens.
The Old Foley Railway, there was a train that ran from Buttonport to Derry, and it didn't go through any town. It's a funny thing about it, that it didn't go through any town, but I used to hear my mother talking about walking to Vauxhall, which was almost in Letterkenny, about 5 mile maybe from Vauxhall to Letterkenny, but she used to walk to get the train there onto Letterkenny. And there was another station, there was a Churchill station down from the Churchill village, she used to walk down there as well. But she always talked about that many different people on the... Talked about all the music they would have on the train and all. A lot of good old people used to travel on it as well. And she used to talk about them playing accordions and fiddles and singing. And she used to reckon the crack used to be great in the train altogether.
Would
have
been, yeah.
Oh, aye. But it's amazing, you know, it wasn't much good to us up here because we're that wee bit farther from it. But that and all, they thought it was very good to get into the Kenny on the train, you know, part of the journey anyway, you know.
Yeah, you would have been cut away, you know.
We were cut away pretty bad, you know.
Yeah.
Here, you know, if I was to go to Glasgow tomorrow morning, if they ring a taxi, there no buses go by. If I was living in Gidoor, better off probably, you know, ring Fulcara, and even along the Brenner Road, round Glenswally, Andy Doherty goes down from there, you know. Andy Doherty from Dunlow, he travels down there. McGain's even travels. I would get a bus to Glasgow quicker there, you know. It's amazing.
I know. All right, John. Good to meet him, I could find a prediction on you. Good to meet him, I could find a prediction on you.
Very good, Tim.